con el under $3 menu de McDonald's, un McChicken es solo $1.50. Resulta que ser el héroe de tu primita solo te cuesta $1.50. Por un McChicken, good deal. Solo por tiempo limitado. Precios y participación pueden variar. Precios con entrega pueden ser más altos.
What's up, everybody? It's Bretzky, and America is turning 250. And I can't think of a better way to celebrate that than playing on an American-owned social casino, SpinQuest.com. With all of your favorite games, live craps, bubble craps, live blackjack, there's no better place to play for free and win real cash prizes. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Good morning and welcome to the Early Line on Sports Grid on Sirius XM, channel 204. For Kevin Walsh, I'm Erin Dolan. Happy Thursday to all our viewers and listeners. And Kev, happy Thursday to you. Pack show.
Oh, absolutely. It is draft day. So a happy draft day to you. Happy draft day to all those watching and listening with us here on Sports Grid. Really, really excited. So much, as you said, to get into.
Yeah, so let's get into our 7-7. Of course, the top headline has to be that it's NFL draft day. Kevin and I, as I mentioned, have a loaded show for our viewers and listeners. Excited to tune into round one tonight and watch some dreams come true. And then come tomorrow, we'll be recapping everything that happens tonight.
Yeah, and look, there's a lot up for grabs there. I mean, we know who's going one and two seemingly, but at three, chaos could break out. Trades, yes, no, maybe. Will the Eagles do something smart? I don't know. There's a lot there, and we're going to be previewing it all right here on the show.
Yeah, and one of the biggest headlines yesterday was the Carolina Panthers trading Teddy Bridgewater to the Denver Broncos for a sixth-round draft pick. Now, the Panthers currently hold that number eight draft pick, and in our next segment, Kevin and I are going to break down the ins and outs of what that means, especially in terms of who we think would be a viable option for the Denver Broncos who currently hold the number nine first-round pick.
And here's the question. Does this move mean everything or nothing? Are they simply adding a backup quarterback? Overall, a sixth-round draft choice isn't a ton to give up. And maybe they could still take quarterback. Maybe they're now secure in their quarterback room. What does this mean for Carolina? Do they now need to fill a hole that Teddy Bridgewater is gone? A lot there with that move.
Yeah, and yesterday, another top headline, Bucks re-signing wide receiver Antonio Brown. Tampa Bay restructuring his contract to fit the team's cap space. He's on a one-year deal worth $6.25 million with $3.1 million guaranteed. Now, the Bucks currently hold that number 32 pick in the first round of this year's draft, but the Bucks already seem to have that loaded roster with just so many weapons.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if AB can get even better this year as opposed to last year, because there was so much time off from Antonio Brown when he was playing to when he then got back out there. The stop and start nature for AB, of course, makes things a little bit difficult. But all in all, this Bucks team, you told me, Erin, brings back all 22 starters. The defending Super Bowl champions makes them a really difficult out for a lot of their opponents.
Yeah, and I feel like reading and doing all this research, I missed the NFL season so much. I'm so looking forward to this year's season. Let's switch it over to the NBA, though. Western Conference Showdown Suns clinch a playoff berth with a 109-101 win over the Clippers. This is their first playoff berth since 2010. Chris Paul ended with a double-double, 28 points, 10 assists. D-Book added 21 points.
CP3 was special in this game. Really, really was. 25 of his 28 points came in the second half. And that's what we talk about with Phoenix. When it's winning time, there is a player in Chris Paul that you do trust. Plus, plus Devin Booker, but D-Book's yet to play in the postseason. Now with that result yesterday against the LA Clippers, Devin Booker will finally be playing playoff basketball like he has long, long hoped for. I'm really excited to see what kind of run Phoenix can go on.
Yeah, and also in the NBA last night, Russell Westbrook posts a triple-double and a 116-107 win over the Lakers at home. 18 points, 18 rebounds, 14 assists. Wizards cover as home dogs in this matchup and still sit in the number 10 spot in the Eastern Conference standings. Two games ahead of the Bulls, and quickly want to welcome in our radio audience. You're listening to The Early Line on Sports Grid on SiriusXM, Channel 204. For Kevin Walsh, I'm Erin Dolan, doing our 7-7 top headlines right now, talking about Russell Westbrook posting a triple-double last night over the Los Angeles Lakers.
Yeah, big night for Russ, filled it up. And the important thing, though, 7 of 16, you'll take that efficiency there. He was a plus 12, legitimately contributing to winning. Russ, sometimes you do have to add that caveat. Is it numbers? Is it winning? Last night was winning. And that was a Lakers team that came out and looked good early, but Washington continued the pace, scoring early and often against that LA defense. The kind of result now that makes people say, all right, enough is enough. When is LeBron coming back for this LA team? But a big, big win for the Wizards, who are really trying to lock down that 10 spot. Maybe with enough wins could apply pressure to Indiana for the 9.
Yep, huge win for them. Let's also mention the Jazz and Sixers, two of the top teams in the league. They won by 40-plus points last night. Philly beat the Hawks 127-83. Jazz beat the Kings 154-105, of course, after dropping two games against the Minnesota Timberwolves there. Sixers are one game behind the Nets for the number one seeded spot in the Eastern Conference. Jazz, it feels like they're hanging on by a thread to that number one seeded spot in the Western Conference standings.
Well, I'll tell you what, if you would have told me that Philly would have both Embiid and Tobias Harris sub-20 and Ben sub-10 points scored, I would have said things were real bad. Apparently, it was just they didn't need to play at all because they obliterated the Atlanta Hawks. And then the fact that they won that game by 44 and were not the biggest margin of victory on the night, mind-blowing. The Jazz obliterate the Sacramento Kings, hang 154, 154, tons of points.
Let's switch it over to Major League Baseball. The New York Mets shut down by the Boston Red Sox with one lone run. Jacob DeGrom was on the mound. He ended with 9 strikeouts, 3 hits, and 6 innings pitched. DeGrom sits at plus 100 as the favorite to win the NL Cy Young Award. But this team, Kev, just not helping out DeGrom at all.
No, not one bit. I mean, what a bunch of nonsense that this guy has sat there with a 2-2 record and has been practically unhittable. I don't understand how this happens. He has the same amount of earned runs allowed as losses, too. It's ridiculous.
Stay with us here on The Early Line. We have a packed show, 2 straight hours of NFL draft coverage. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to The Early Line. For Kevin Walsh, I'm Erin Dolan. It's time to get into our NFL draft coverage. We wanted to start off with one of the biggest headlines yesterday. The Carolina Panthers, of course, trading quarterback Teddy Bridgewater to the Denver Broncos for the 6th-round draft pick. Now, the Panthers will pay $7 million to Bridgewater, while the Broncos will pay him $3 million. In terms of other logistics, as tweeted out by Albert Breer, Bridgewater agrees to a pay cut from $17 million to $11.5 million. Panthers agree to pay $7 million. Teddy keeps $1.5 million of his non-guaranteed money. So, Kevin, overall, we might as well start off with talking about the Broncos. What does this mean for them? Are they going to keep Drew Lock? Do you think they're going to trade him? Do you think they would want to take a quarterback potentially in this draft since it's so loaded? What do you see them doing with that number 9 overall pick in the first round?
So this is why, to me, the move is puzzling. I understand bringing in a Teddy Bridgewater, right? Because he's been around the league a little bit. Even if you're going to draft a quarterback, Lock doesn't qualify as a veteran. Obviously, a first-round rookie quarterback doesn't qualify. Teddy can fit the bill. The question becomes, do you really want to roster Teddy, Drew Lock, and a first-round quarterback? Mm-hmm. It's a lot of names. Typically, teams don't want you to be able to name who their third-string quarterback is. It just seemingly maybe creates a little more hoopla than you would need. And the question then becomes, why? Why did the Denver Broncos need to get this trade for Teddy Bridgewater done before the draft, or at least before these two teams who select 8 and 9 back to back. Why did that deal need to get done before the draft? That's what remains puzzling to me, Aaron. We're going to break down these two markets here because there's two specific Denver Bronco markets. But a lot of the reporters still saying that this move did not take the Denver Broncos out of the quarterback hunt.
Yeah, and we knew that Teddy Bridgewater was not going to stay with the Panthers. We've known this for a long time based on his social media and other things. But just in general, you make a great point. Why did this have to happen before the draft? It kind of screams to me that the Broncos could potentially even trade up if they really want to get a quarterback. Also, with Drew Lock and Teddy Bridgewater, just in general, Teddy Bridgewater seems to be a better quarterback than Drew Lock. So is that your starter? Now you just need to back up and you're going to trade Drew Lock. But then again, who wants Drew Lock? So it kind of just is a bunch of swirling questions around the quarterback. But then when you take a look at the markets, for example, on the FanDuel Sportsbook, positioned to be drafted first by the Denver Broncos, you have offensive lineman plus 125, linebacker plus 240, cornerback plus 500, quarterback plus 800, wide receiver plus 900. So maybe they're going to stay with those pieces that they have and add a different weapon, either on the offensive side, defensive side, but not a quarterback position.
And here's the really interesting thing with these two markets is, first of all, they're moving quite a bit. So I right now have quarterback to be the position of the Denver Broncos' first drafted player in front of me at plus 340. On the move from last night when I was looking at this, from plus 500. Now, that to me changes then the way you would want to play this market if you believe the idea that they could still possibly draft a quarterback. Hang with me here, but if you are a $100 bettor and you put $100 down on the position of the Broncos' first drafted player to be quarterback, you would win $340, a pretty nice cash. However, if you go and look at the exact player market, Justin Fields plus 900, Trey Lance plus 900. So if you queue both of those guys up, and if you're willing to risk $50 for both of those players, either guy that you would hit on would return you $450 for your $50 wager. You would, of course, lose then on the other man, but you actually would win for the same amount of risk, 60 more bucks if you grab both Fields and Lance. Obviously, the downside here is the Denver Broncos drafting Mac Jones, but Mac's still the considerable favorite to be the third overall selection by the San Francisco 49ers. So I think that's a creative way to play this thing, Aaron, as long as you're okay thinking that this will not be Mac Jones for the Denver Broncos, believing that they're still interested in quarterback, which I kind of do believe here, and going with both Fields or Lance in a for $50 wagers, and if either one of those guys is the selection, you would make more money than if you just played the quarterback market on its own.
For sure. And right now in the FanDuel Sportsbook, plus 900 for Fields or Lance to be the first player drafted by the Denver Broncos. But also just want to mention Rashawn Slater plus 210, leading that market. Micah Parsons plus 340, then J.C. Horn plus 600. It's going to be interesting to see where J.C. Horn goes, because I also know that he's sitting on top of the Philadelphia Eagles as potentially their first pick, favored there in that market. But then, since we kind of mentioned what this means to the Denver Broncos, what does this mean for the Panthers as well? I feel like in this top 10, so many of these teams could just take a quarterback, but could we be surprised with them taking a different position? Are the Panthers really sold on Sam Darnold? I mean, this team hasn't played together. They haven't seen Sam Darnold try to fit into their offensive scheme just yet, because we haven't seen all of them on the field together. But it would make sense for them to try to find a long-term solution to instead using Sam Darnold. Because, I mean, what could happen is he could come play like he did on the Jets. And I know everyone's making a case that he could play better than he did, and it's the Jets' fault, this and that, or he could technically be a bust.
So the interesting thing with Sam Darnold, and we talked about this when they made the move, is now you're kind of in on the Darnold project, aren't you? At least you would think so. Whether Sam is good or not, you live with the result. If he's good, well, good. You got yourself a quarterback. If he's not, well, then next year you'll find yourself back inside this top 10 looking to draft quarterback once again. The reality is, Teddy Bridgewater, at least in my estimation, had no bearing on whether or not we thought Panthers could select quarterback. It entirely comes down to Sam Darnold and whether or not you want to have an open competition between Sam Darnold and one of these top five quarterbacks that this year's draft class is offering. What I think, Aaron, makes the Panthers so difficult to pin down is outside of running back, I'm not sure this team could make a bad pick at eight. If they added to their offensive line with a Rashawn Slater, no problem. If they strengthened cornerback with a Surtain or a J.C. Horn, yeah, I'm pleased with that. If you take one of the elite wide receivers and justify it by saying they are the best player available, well, yeah, usually BPA will get you at least a B-plus draft grade from most people. Here's the other one that I'll throw out there. Position of the Carolina Panthers' first drafted player, tight end, 24-1. If Kyle Pitts makes it past four, just based on the Falcons maybe not drafting there, maybe the Falcons themselves going quarterback, I don't think he goes five, and I don't think that he is going to go six. Maybe then the Panthers run that card up at 24-1. Also, just to bring it in, the Detroit Lions are that same price, 24-1, to take a tight end with their first pick. If Pitts doesn't go four, I could see the Lions or the Carolina Panthers making him their man with their first pick of the draft.
Yeah, and on the FanDuel Sportsbook right now, offensive lineman for the Carolina Panthers, plus 170, cornerback, plus 210, quarterback, plus 250. But you make a lot of great points there, Kev. Now, in this first top 10, there's just so much that could happen. We have the, you know, Panthers holding the number 8, you have the Broncos number 9, but that 7th spot right now, the Detroit Lions, is really up in the air because a lot of people are saying the Patriots could potentially trade with them. Patriots also been linked to the Panthers. And obviously, this is going to have an impact on all the totals, especially for quarterbacks. But a lot of things are really going to rely, to me, it seems, on that number 3 spot and that number 4 spot for where everybody else goes and some of the trades that are really going to happen.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, 7, 8, 9. All could trade back. All could draft quarterback. Bizarre.
Stay with us here on the Early Line. We'll be right back after the break to talk more about the NFL draft. Stay with us.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to the Early Line on SportsGrid on SiriusXM, Channel 204. For Kevin Walsh, I'm Aaron Dolan. We wanted to start off this segment by talking about all the overall picks, especially in terms of the top 10. But just wanted to point out two things quickly before we start that. Now, we know who number 1 and number 2 picks are going to be, but there is value all over the board because so many things can happen leading up and even during the draft. Teams can absolutely surprise us. I was also reading another great point on ESPN yesterday, that you may want to keep an eye on how many trade down teams will try to collect picks in terms of next year's draft, because this is a really difficult draft, of course, based on COVID-19. So don't be surprised if a lot of team trades happen today that will involve 2022 picks. But let's get into those overall picks. We've been the talk forever. Number 1 overall, Trevor Lawrence. He's going to the Jags, minus 50,000 on the FanDuel Sportsbook. You're not going to be betting on that. But we're not really showing very much love to Trevor Lawrence and talking about all his accolades and things, because we've known for a while that he's going to be the number 1 overall pick. And what's interesting is Mel Kiper actually rated him in the top 5 for the highest rated quarterbacks ever in the NFL draft. And winning is nothing new to him. Obviously, winning that national championship, he was great in his high school career as well. He won 2 state championships, broke Georgia state records for passing yards and touchdowns. He was number 1 recruit in America. And I mean, the list of accolades could just go on and on. But how do you think Trevor Lawrence in his first year will fit into the Jags organization, Kev?
Yeah, well, I look forward to seeing it. And I think you made a good point there, though, in a way, because we've known he was going to be this pick here for a while, we've kind of just lost sight of Trevor Lawrence. This is the Trevor Lawrence draft. Make no bones about it. This has been the Trevor Lawrence draft since he stepped foot on Clemson. It was like, oh, wow, I can't wait for that guy in 2021 to be the quarterback. tank for Trevor has been on for years for some of these teams. I remember the second he threw a touchdown at Clemson, it was like, oh, big John Gruden's going to find a way to tank for this guy years out in advance. That's why he traded Khalil Mack. I mean, we have been preparing for Trevor Lawrence to come to the NFL for a really long time. And because of that, we haven't, as you've said, talked about him a lot because we know he's just going number one overall, but he is the star player of this mm-hmm. class. He is the big name mm-hmm. of this draft class. He's the only quarterback that is a guarantee to start week one for the team that he is going to be drafted by. And he's a quarterback. And as you said, has the hype around him, best prospect since Peyton Manning or Andrew Luck at that quarterback position. There's no angle for me to tell you, take a flyer, $10. Maybe it's Fields. Maybe it's Trey Lance. Don't waste those $10. Buy yourself an ice cream. There's no reason to waste that money. It's going to be Trevor Lawrence at one, and I cannot wait to see what he's going to look like in Jacksonville.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome to watch, especially come next season. Let's also talk about the number two spot for the Jets, BYU, Zach Wilson, -5,000 to go there now. We know he's definitely probably going to go number two. His passes are elite, 6'3", known for athleticism. He can escape and evade pressure both in and out of the pocket. But some executives I read on ESPN said Wilson will make an impact for this Jets team immediately. Some even saying if you strip down the Trevor Lawrence hype, he's a better quarterback. Again, this is all up into interpretation. But the Jets still do have a ways to go. We know that this organization can be, quote, disastrous, but do you think he can make an immediate impact for the New York Jets?
Okay, so here's the thing with Zach. Again, save your $10. Realistically, at this point, every single thing says it's going to be Zach Wilson. But you mentioned there, you never know, the Jets, they can be disastrous. I'm not sure that if they all of a sudden didn't take Zach Wilson, that would be disastrous. It is mind-blowing to me that Zach Wilson's previous college football season rockets him up draft boards past Justin Fields, who dominated Clemson in the college football playoff semifinal. How is Zach Wilson's performance against a bunch of, let's be honest here, subpar competition colleges outweighing what Justin Fields did, even if it was a limited Big Ten schedule, and then that game with broken ribs against Clemson. So if Justin Fields was the pick at two, I won't check in tomorrow with laughter and slander for the New York Jets. I'll say, wow,
2,000. You pulled off good value if you think that.
But look, it would be the greatest bait and switch of all time by Joe Douglas that he somehow fed every single credible reporter the idea that he was going to take Zach Wilson. I feel kind of bad for Zach Wilson because I think he's almost positive he's a Jet. I think Adam Schefter said he texted Zach Wilson on the day that Sam Darnold was traded, congratulations and welcome to you, to New York. Bold shot call there from Shefty, but if anybody knows, he's going to know. Look, I'm not going to bet in this market. Everything says that it's Zach Wilson. Mm-hmm. Trevor's the best quarterback in the draft. I'm very okay with that idea. I'm still somebody who thinks the second best is Fields. So if I think the second best quarterback goes two, it wouldn't fully surprise me, but boy, it would be a stunner if the Jets did pivot.
And it's interesting with Justin Fields. I feel like he's not getting a lot of credit, especially in terms of this draft. Originally, a lot of the odds had him going as, you know, one of these higher picks, and then he kept falling down and down the board. It seemed obviously his player over under obviously skyrocketed. It was 3.5 at one point. I believe it's now 8.5. But we'll talk more about that in a little bit. I want to continue with these overall picks. We talked about number one, number two. You can also bet on number three and number four. This is when things get a little wonky here. So for the number three pick, you have the 49ers. Mac Jones moved down -310 to -270 overnight. Then you have Trey Lance +370, now moved to +280 overnight. Now the world is in the hands of the 49ers. They can obviously trade. They traded up from that number 12 pick to get that number three. So we assume that they're going to go at the quarterback. But Kyle Shanahan, to me, I mean, all the pressure is on him. But him going into that conference saying, "Oh well, I don't even know who's going to be alive come Sunday." It's going to be interesting to see what he does here. But overall, do you think that he's just going to take Mac Jones? Do you think he's going to go with Trey Lance? there's Justin Fields plus 500. Could he potentially shock everybody and take Kyle Pitts plus 4,600?
So, first of all, Kyle Shanahan, do you think he even prepped for this? He's like, I might not even be alive when the draft starts. I have no work to do.
Why move up from 12 to 3 and not have a definitive answer is the question.
Well, I mean, like the idea, why would you trade in advance, though, if you didn't even know you were going to be alive come draft day? Like, crazy move from Kyle Shanahan there. Like, why even bother? Here's the thing for me, okay? I think it will be Mac Jones. I do not think it is going to be Mac Jones, though, to the point where I would like to lay minus 270. Some of that is born out of the idea that I think if I had to make my pick of these quarterbacks, Mac Jones would be the fifth guy on the board for me and not the third option on the board. If you, though, at home believe that you don't think it's going to be Mac Jones, my advice is to, instead of trying to go and, you know, bet Trey Lance or Fields, I would simply bet over 3.5 draft position for Mac Jones at plus 230. I know you would say that Trey Lance gets you 50 more bucks, Fields gets you a ton more. I get it, but you're already pulling an upset by correctly predicting Mac isn't the pick at 3. You don't need to overcomplicate this year then and also get it bang on the head who it's going to be. Because yes, it seemingly would be Trey Lance if it's not Mac Jones, but maybe it is Justin Fields. And you know what? If the Jets pull again the stunner of all stunners and don't take Zach Wilson, well then Zach Wilson might be the pick at 3 overall. To me, if you at home do not believe it is going to be Mac Jones, I would take his over 3.5 draft position and then just be happy you've won a nice plus 230 ticket. Take a little stress off your plate and don't try and nail down who this pick would actually be.
Yeah, and like you said, not great value in terms of taking him number 3 overall. And also, if you were going to take his under 3.5 right now in the FanDuel Sportsbook, that's minus 300. That number has not changed overnight. That stayed steady. But all around, obviously, those are the thinking behind who's going to go 1, 2, and 3. So let's talk about 4, the Falcons. They could go with the tight end, of course, Kyle Pitts. He moved from minus 135 to minus 210 overnight. Trey Lance also on the board, plus 340 there. But the question here for the Falcons, we have, are they going to trade down from that number 4 spot, or are they going to grab Matt Ryan's successor, or are they just going to take Kyle Pitts? Obviously, Pitts would add depth to that offense, but it just seems like with this new GM and head coach, all they want to do is try to get a winning season out of Matt Ryan. To me, it seems like they can't wait another year for this rebuild process. Matt Ryan, just to me, this needs to be done immediately, which is why I think they would go with Pitts in this situation.
Here's the thing for me, Aaron. I think this market is an absolute mess. Number 4 overall pick. I don't know who's picking here. Atlanta wants to trade back. That has become quite clear. And who could they trade back to? Well, they could trade back to one of the quarterback needy teams. A Carolina, a Denver possibly could be interested. Oh, apparently New England is willing to maybe come all the way up to 4 and get Justin Fields. We heard the Lions. The Lions at 7 were interested in coming to 4 to get Jamar Chase. All of a sudden, Jamar Chase off the board at the 4th overall selection. I don't know who is picking here. Here's my other problem, though. If it is Atlanta, I don't agree with the Kyle Pitts selection. I am taking a quarterback. I am preparing myself for life after Matt Ryan. I would rather a Trey Lance or a Justin Fields if I was Atlanta. And to go another level, if I were not taking a quarterback and I was staying put if I was Atlanta, I'd rather draft Penei Sewell or maybe even a Jamar Chase over a Kyle Pitts at this spot. Similar to the Mac Jones, I'd go over 4.5 draft position of Kyle Pitts if I were going to be fading him in this market.
Yeah, there's so many ifs, ands, or buts in terms of this NFL draft. Stay with us here on the Early Line. We'll be right back after the break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Mm-hmm.
Early Line for Kevin Walsh. I'm Aaron Dolan. Want to continue with our NFL draft coverage. Now, we just talked about some overall picks that you can bet on the FanDuel Sportsbook, starting off number one, number two, number three, and number four. But we also wanted to talk about some of the other top 10 teams. So, of course, holding that number five pick, we had the Bengals. Now, let's say the Falcons take picks with their number four. They could potentially take a quarterback like we talked about. Then the Bengals at number five could be open to taking a wide receiver, Jamar Chase. You have offensive tackle Penei Sewell. Of course, Burrow played with Jamar Chase at LSU, both of them breaking records. But for Penei Sewell, he's out of Oregon. And Justin Herbert actually trying to recruit him, his former teammate with the Chargers, number 13 overall pick. So still a good option for the Bengals. Mm-hmm. But this also will then lead us to where are the Dolphins going to take at number six? Are they going to take the wide receiver, maybe take Jamar Chase, maybe Devonta Smith, obviously, because he's paired with Tua at a point in his career. So all around, what do you think the Bengals are going to do with that number five pick? And it seems that we haven't really heard any conversations about them trading down.
That's my favorite thing about the Bengals, is everybody around them is running around chaos. Do we trade quarterback? What do we? And the Bengals are like,
chilling on this draft day.
Will you guys please just figure it out? Like, we're taking Penei Sewell or Jamar Chase. Just tell us who's on the board. The question, though, for the Bengals is, what do you do if both of them are on the board? That's really the big question here when it comes to the Cincinnati Bengals, because on, if either one of those players is gone, Jamar Chase or Penei Sewell, then I think I personally, like, I can go and make myself a sandwich or a drink, or I don't have to, because I know what the Bengals are doing if one of those two guys are gone. The question becomes, what happens if both of these players are available? And you'll notice that the FanDuel Sportsbook has Jamar Chase under 5.5 at -178, and they have Penei Sewell over under 6.5, and even money to the under there on Penei Sewell. I disagree. Or I don't know if I disagree. I guess that's not really the purpose of this. I love the Penei Sewell under. I love the Penei Sewell under. Now, Jamar Chase, maybe he does surprise us and go for. The Falcons might trade Julio. Maybe they try and get in front of that. We heard the Lions is willing to come up to four to get a Jamar Chase. Guess what? You can cash that ticket. Again, that's good for me, betting my under on Penei Sewell. But Aaron, I believe that if both of those players are on the board for the Cincinnati Bengals, despite the Burrow-Chase LSU connection, they will tell Joe Burrow, look at your knee. We need to protect you. Yep. And Penei Sewell is the guy to do that, coming out of Oregon, an offensive tackle prospect that the league has been very high on since his freshman season.
And if you look at the match bets right now, you have Sewell +164, Chase -215, with those two going against each other of who's going to go first. Now, if you do think Sewell is going to go in that spot at number five for the Bengals, it makes sense to take him at that plus money. But you made a great point. If another team jumps to that number four spot to get somebody like Jamar Chase, or if even the Bengals take him, then you're obviously not going to want to bet into this market at -215. I don't see Sewell going before Chase unless you truly believe that that 1, 2, 3, 4 is going to stay the way it is. And then at number five, they're going to take Sewell.
Well, and so that's the thing for me with the Penei Sewell now under 6.5. This was under 5.5 for a long time here. The 6.5 move, even if I'm wrong, which I don't plan on being wrong, but maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's Jamar Chase for the Bengals at five. I think Penei Sewell is still an option then for the Dolphins at six. Mm-hmm. They just traded away an offensive lineman in Eric Flowers to the Washington football team. And we have heard as much recently, rumors suggesting that the Miami Dolphins would consider Penei Sewell at that sixth overall selection. So I look at Penei Sewell as a guy that has the potential to be selected at 4, 5, or 6. I think that he's a better option at 4 than Kyle Pitts, or at 5 than Jamar Chase. And I think it'd be a plenty fine option at 6 for the Dolphins. That's why the Penei Sewell, for all of those over-unders, his is probably my favorite on the board at that under 6.5.
Interesting. Again, of course, that number six spot, you have the Dolphins. A lot of question marks around them if they were going to trade back. But it looks like they would be wanting to take a wide receiver if they were in that position, just based on the odds boards. Right now, -125 to be the first position of the Miami Dolphins' first drafted player. And a lot of people would, of course, link this to Devonta Smith as their wide receiver that they would want to go with based on that, you know, he played with Tua. But again, how much do you really factor that into the draft? Because we can make the same case for Jamar Chase and Joe Burrow. But let's say number four, they go with a quarterback with the Falcons. Hawkins. Just again, this is all if, ands, or buts. This entire show is going to be like that. And number five, they don't select Ja'Marr Chase. And number six, having that wide receiver on the board, do you think that they would take him, obviously, over Devonta Smith? Or do you think that those connections with these players that have played in college are more valuable than taking one of the best wide receivers in the class?
So this is the thing. I do think those connections matter. And I think Tua might be in the room saying, give me Waddle or give me Devonta Smith. Now, listen, you should not be drafting in an attempt to just replicate college teams. That's not the point here. But also, for all of the love that Ja'Marr Chase has been giving, and it's easy to see why, he's a tremendous wide receiver prospect, I am not going to tell you he's obviously the best wide receiver in this class. Jalen Waddle was dominant when healthy at Alabama, and Devonta Smith just won the darn Heisman. So the Miami Dolphins making either Smith or Waddle their man with the sixth pick, even if Ja'Marr Chase is on the board, I don't think would be all too much of a mistake. Where you start to throw things off a little bit, Aaron, is that position of Miami Dolphins first drafted player, tight end, plus 280. This is what we're trying to get a sense of. What is the floor on Kyle Pitts? The ceiling is the fourth pick. Is the floor Miami at six? Is it Carolina at eight? Could it be the Dallas Cowboys at 10? I think the Dolphins, even if Kyle Pitts was still on the board, I do think that the Miami Dolphins could still go another direction. The other layer to this, Miami apparently willing to trade back. So I think you're looking at a Dolphins team that has become a little bit difficult to pin down here, but I don't mind wide receiver minus 125 for the Fins because I think Chase and Waddle both would be heavier favorites for me to be the selection at six over Sewell or Pitts or anybody else.
So it seems like the Falcons are a little shaky in their spot, and it also seems like the Dolphins could potentially trade back as well. So that leads us to number seven, the Lions, who could also have some trades. But would they want to take a quarterback potentially? I mean, they have Jared Goff. It doesn't make sense for me, at least, for them to have a backup right now, especially coming out of this draft class, unless it was absolutely necessary. But right now on the FanDuel Sportsbook, we have wide receiver plus 100, offensive lineman plus 360, quarterback plus 370. What do you think that the Detroit Lions need to do in this position? I mean, honestly, at this point, any position is going to help them, but I don't see them taking a quarterback.
So the Detroit Lions, for position of first player drafted, right? Even money wide receiver. Offensive lineman comes in at plus 360, quarterback checking in at plus 370. Linebacker plus 750. I don't anticipate, though, Micah Parsons is going to be the selection there for the Lions, right? So here's the other market, though, that we need to be factoring in when it pertains to what the Detroit Lions are going to do. Over under 7.5 draft position for both Trey Lance and Justin Fields. If those numbers are going to cash, which, by the way, the under for Fields is juiced to minus 122. The under for Lance is juiced at minus 188. They are favored to do so. It means either the Lions have picked a quarterback. I don't think they're going to. I agree with you on that front, Aaron. Or they've traded out. It's the only way for five of the top seven picks to be quarterback, unless we think, again, Mac Jones is set to tumble down this board. But again, the odds don't suggest as much. The Lions would need to trade out. And I think you're talking about the Patriots, of course. Yeah, I think a small move from the Broncos from 9 to 7. And I think the Washington football team is a sleeper as well to come up inside this top 10 and possibly go quarterback of the future. So the Lions are in another team that fits the mold. We are not sure where they're going to be drafting tonight.
Yeah, and I think you made a great point about the Patriots as well, but they could also move up to that number six spot, that number seven spot, that number potentially even four spot. So it just really depends with these player over-unders where you think a major trade is going to happen. But again, this is all hypothetical, and it'll be interesting to see where the Patriots want to go. I mean, if they want Justin Fields and he's still on the board, they could trade up to that number six to make sure that, God forbid, something doesn't happen or another team jumps into that number six spot like the Washington football team to take them ahead of the Patriots. Like, there's so many little things that can happen to have a team who needs a quarterback not be able to get one. So I think in, let's say, the Patriots and Bill Belichick's fashion, they have to get somebody like a Justin Fields. And from my perspective, at least with having Cam Newton, I don't think he's a long-term solution. So it'll be interesting to see where they end up drafting up to. Now this leads us to number eight, the Panthers. So where do they need help? I mean, we talked about this at the beginning of the show. We have Darnold, he's under center, but do they really believe in him? Teddy Bridgewater, he's out, he's to the Broncos. Could the Panthers potentially trade back? Do you think they want to stay in this spot? They obviously need a lot of help around their new quarterback.
Yeah, I look at the Panthers again as a team. Every single thing outside of running back is live here. Micah Parsons, J.C. Horn, Patrick Surtain, Slater, if Sewell fell, a wideout, a quarterback, trade out, trade up. It's all in play for the Carolina Panthers. It comes off then to me, though, Aaron, a little unbettable, to be honest with you right now. I there's plus money abound, no doubt about it, but Carolina, to me, can do too many things that I would view as a good move for them to try and narrow it down to try to make a play. If you forced my hand, again, I take the swing on tight end at 24-1 because I do believe the Panthers is the floor for Kyle Pitts. I think Matt Rhule and Joe Brady run the card up if Pitts fell back to eight.
And I know we talked a lot about the Panthers and the Broncos also already, but do you truly believe that the Broncos could potentially move up and that would kind of jumble up everything that would be happening in terms of this top 10?
Yeah, I still think Denver could move up. I think there's a world certainly where Denver is now secure with their quarterback room. You want to give Drew Lock just one more chance, that is fine. The question then becomes, well, what does Denver want to do if it's not going to be quarterback? Odds are offensive lineman and linebacker. I think the cornerback position has value at 5-1. I think Surtain or Horn both could be an option for Denver if they don't go quarterback.
And we'll definitely have to get into more of these other teams. Number 10, of course, the Cowboys holding that spot. Number 11, the Giants. And then number 12, the Philadelphia Eagles. But just wanted to quickly mention for the Cowboys, they are, from what I've been reading about, locked in on defense. But then again, last year they were locked in on defense and took CeeDee Lamb. But right now, first player drafted cornerback. It moved overnight minus 170 to minus 250 on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Offensive lineman moved up plus 550, defensive lineman plus 700. So it's going to be interesting to see what the Cowboys do here and if they would take potentially J.C. Horn, considering that the Philadelphia Eagles' first player to be drafted is him at plus 280.
For the Cowboys to be minus 250 to take a cornerback, then I pivot value Patrick Surtain minus 180, top 10 selection.
Stay with us here on the Early Line. Coming up next, we are going to give you our hero of the night. Stay with us.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to the Early Line on Sports Grid on SiriusXM, Channel 204. For Kevin Walsh, I'm Aaron Dolan. Time to do our Hero of the Night segment, but first just want to mention favorites in Major League Baseball last night went 11-2 straight up with Phillies Cardinals closing pick'em. Only upsets by the Red Sox over the Mets and Nationals over the Blue Jays. Overs went 9-5, but unders still lead the season at 53%. It's time to get to our Hero of the Night.
Little pause in the draft breakdown for some hero of the night. And we like to have fun here in this segment. And I have to give this award to someone who had a blast yesterday out there on the field. It was a legitimate moment. It will be, I think, one of the highlights of the entire Major League Baseball season. It had an all-star game vibe to it. I know that the game being a blowout, not a great look for one of the squads, but it gave us a tremendous moment where Anthony Rizzo was on the mound pitching against Freddie Freeman, who, by the way, they had this great moment the other day on Sunday Night Baseball. Rizzo in a rundown chasing Freddie Freeman, screaming his name. Well, Anthony Rizzo steps up and in against Freddie Freeman, who was 4-for-4 on the day. A homer, RBI doubles, spray, 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 balls all over the place. Well, Anthony Rizzo, throwing 70 miles an hour, proceeds to record his first ever strikeout as a pitcher. I know the Cubs didn't want him out there, but he did a far better job than Kyle Hendricks did when trying to get Freddie Freeman out. Freddie Freeman finished the game 4-for-5. Anthony Rizzo was the only one who got him out. My only question is, FanDuel Sportsbook, where are the odds for Anthony Rizzo to win NL Cy Young? Because he's now just won a Hero of the Night.
Love it. Love when you give us a Hero of the Night, especially switching away from our NFL draft. Stay with us here on the Early Line. Coming up next is our 7-7 top headlines.
The only place to turn for expert sports gaming strategies and information.
But we just call it
The Edge.
This is the...
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and we're driving through the states in the Bluffmobile, and the best thing that we can do is play our favorite casino-style games on SpinQuest. They have over 1,000 games, including live dealer, blackjack, and craps, with tons of slots and unlimited options. You can get a $30 coin pack for just $10 for new users. Sign up today. Go to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.